Welcome to the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, where it's all about slashing your debt and taxes and creating a liberated lifestyle. And now, your host, with a love of fantasy books and funk, and a hatred of running more than 3 miles, Dave Denniston.
Hey, this is Dave Denniston, and welcome to the latest episode of the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast. Well, as many of you know who have read the Freedom Formula for Physicians, I have a passion for reducing, eliminating, and destroying debt. And we all know when the banks were thrown into the pits of the depths of the debt crisis, we have seen a tremendous change in the way student loans have operated. And now with several companies, even residents and fellows can refinance their debts. As a matter of fact, our next guest, she got her undergrad at Harvard. She holds an MBA at Wharton. She also has been in strategic planning roles with American Express. Now she's doing some really cool stuff with all that banking experience through a relatively young firm, Link Capital. Please help me welcome Catherine Hebenstreet. Welcome, Catherine.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. We're excited to be here.
Very cool. First, tell us about your journey. As I mentioned in the intro, you know, you've been quite a few Wall Street firms, and now you're in this space of physician student loans. Tell us more about your journey and how you've gotten to where you are now.
Sure. So I have really enjoyed all of my previous experiences, but I'm loving what I'm doing now and the impact that I feel we're having at Link Capital. I actually got to know Bill Klaus, who co-founded Link, well, he was working in investment banking in New York City at the same time I was working in finance there as well.
Uh-huh.
We both had student loans from business school at very high interest rates. I had some at 6.8, 7.4%. He had some, I think, as high as 8%. So we understood the pains associated with that debt firsthand and decided that we wanted to do something to help fix what I think a lot of people recognize seems to be a really broken and inefficient system.
Mm. Yeah, and I mean, Bill, you look at those interest rates, right? I mean, that's just killer, 8%. I mean, that's docking on 100 grand of debt. That's $8,000 a year just servicing that bad boy.
Exactly. And Bill's background was specifically in healthcare finance, so he had heard many times while meeting with his healthcare system clients about the negative impact that the student loan burden of medical professionals had on their relationship with their employers, their career choice, their life decisions. So that's what led us to focus specifically on medical professionals as a population.
Okay, so you guys kind of got started there, and was it a group of partners, or, you know, how many people were involved in getting the company set up, and when was this?
Sure. So we started with our entity formation late in 2013. And then throughout 2014, Bill and I both left. I left JP Morgan. He left Barclays. And we had a team of four people through that time where we started building our platform, getting the technology ready. And then earlier this year, we grew our team, and we're now actually at 15 people.
Wow.
And we started... Yeah, it's gotten big quickly, which is really exciting. And we started processing loans late May, early June of this year.
Okay, so started about 6 months ago. So you guys are obviously pretty new to this space. And
yes.
How much in the way of dollar amount of physician loans have you been servicing or taken over since about 6 months ago?
Sure. So we've done just shy of about $50 million in loans to date. And what's interesting is most of that volume has actually come through referrals and word of mouth, which I think speaks to the strength of the offering and the need for this product for this population. Mm-hmm. We've also begun to establish relationships with a number of healthcare systems who are going to be offering our product as a voluntary benefit to their employees. So we actually anticipate that loan volume picking up even more in 2016.
Well, that's cool. And what's it like? I mean, when you start out like that, right? I mean, you're literally at ground zero, entrepreneurs building this thing out. I mean, is it overwhelming? I mean, what kind of bugs happen when you do something like this?
It's definitely overwhelming, you know, definitely very different than being in a big corporate entity. but it's exciting. You know, I think there's a lot of challenges. You're always dealing with the unknown. Every day turns out a little different than you kind of had anticipated. But I think what keeps us all going is knowing the impact that we think we're having on a population who gives so much to our community. When you think about healthcare professionals, they've devoted to a long, expensive education, a long training period. And even when they're full attendings, they're devoting so much to their patients that we get really excited about the idea of trying to help them take control of their current finances and their financial future.
Mm-hmm. And one of the questions I always ask about these entities, obviously there's several out there now, like you guys, and what kind of entity are you guys? You know, who's behind backing you guys? Because we see a lot of VC, venture capital activity out there. Some
yes.
entities are banks.
Yes.
How are you guys structured?
So I think we're a little different in that regard. Our current investors are comprised of private individuals and a nonprofit student loan agency called Iowa Student Loan. And they all get why physicians have such strong credit profiles and also believe that given all that medical professionals do for our communities, we should be finding ways to give back and help them. In our next round of funding, which will be in early 2016, we're anticipating that a number of healthcare systems will actually be participating as well.
Huh.
So I think having this, you know, those types of strategic investors really sets us apart from others in the space and allows us to give back as much value as possible to our customers.
Really cool. Okay. And tell us about the process. You know, how are your loans underwritten? So, for example, what determines that new interest rate? When are physicians not able to refinance? What does that look like?
Sure. So I think similar to others in the space, our loans are underwritten to a variety of factors, mainly a borrower's credit history as well as their debt level relative to their income. Where we're a little unique is that for physicians who are in training, we take their projected income, so meaning the income they'll be making after completing their training, into account.
Meaning, when you say in training, do you mean while they are a medical student, or do you mean while they're in residency or fellowship?
Residency or fellowship. So, okay. As you know, during that training period, most of the time, those individuals are making $50,000, $60,000 a year, so they might not qualify under some programs in terms of their debt-to-income limits. But we would look at what they project their income to be once they are through training and underwrite to that.
So what does that look like then? So, you know, let's say I am a resident, you know, making $55,000 a year, and I'm currently enrolled in IBR, and the current monthly payment, you know, is like $400, let's just say.
Right.
And I end up knowing that I want to refinance my loans and get the loans lower, so we go through you guys and get a lower interest rate, but I'm still in residency. So what does that payment look like?
So we actually allow for complete deferment of payments through residency.
Mm.
That being said, a resident could choose to make payments if they choose, and there's no penalty for prepayment. So if someone says, you know, I've gotten in the habit of making a few $100 payments a month under IBR and want to continue doing that, we allow for that. But we do allow for full deferment of payments during training.
So is the rate fixed or is it variable until they are in practice?
So for our the resident and fellow loans, there are only fixed rates available.
Mm-hmm.
For our direct consolidation loan for other medical professionals, there are both fixed and variable. You know, we find that if someone's going through training, because they're going to have that lag period before they start repayment, we believe that the fixed rate option is most appropriate for that situation.
And so then is after they're out of residency fellowship, so they have a loan and the loan balance, of course, has increased a little bit, but not nearly as much as if they had been going for PSLF. Is the loan amortized over a certain period? Do they decide that in residency? How does that work?
Correct. They would choose a term. So let's say they choose a 10-year term at the beginning of residency, and then their training period counts towards that.
Their training period counts towards that. So they would have accelerated payments, basically. So let's say their residency is 3 years. They would have essentially accelerated payments over 7 years then if they did a 10-year note.
And I'm sorry, I explained that poorly. The 10 years would begin once they've started repayment.
Okay, so once they're in practice. And does that, is that like immediately once they're in practice? I mean, how do you guys know? How does that work?
That's a good question. So we, during our underwriting process, we collect documentation that proves that they're in a training period, what their specialty is, and also includes an end date for their training period. And then we give a two-month grace period following the end of their training period before repayment would begin.
So basically you're checking with their employer to see, are they still there or have they left yet?
Exactly.
Have you guys ran into any situations yet where someone maybe they took a month off or 2 months off? I had a couple of physicians that did that this last summer. You know, they just needed a little breathing room before starting practice. What happens in those kinds of situations?
It's a good question, and we've had, you know, a few different situations like that, or when someone went from a residency and decided at the end of that they wanted to go into a fellowship.
Right.
In those types of situations, our servicer will ask the borrower for documentation either proving that they are, in fact, moving into a fellowship or, you know, I'm going to take these 2 months off, but I have an offer letter showing my start date in 2 months. In those situations, we work with the borrower and can offer a deferment for economic hardship or whatever might be appropriate, and then they resume their repayment when the full-time job started.
Okay, so it sounds like that you guys are flexible, which is awesome, but something that you also just mentioned, which I thought was an interesting point, is you guys are underwriting the loan, but someone else is servicing it. Is that right? Did I capture that correctly?
That's correct. So our loans are serviced by Aspire Resources.
Okay. And I think Aspire used to do a lot more student loans, if I remember right.
Correct. They still do. They service a large portfolio of student loans, have a long history in the space, and we've so far seen great customer feedback on the services they provide.
Well, and I remember back when I was going through college, that there was this crazy kind of frenzy when interest rates were actually low, right? You know, you had 2.5%, 3% interest rates back during the tech crash when I was going through college. And I remember all these loan servicing companies kept on trading horses. It was like, you know, different people were underwriting the loans, and then someone would sell off my horse to someone else. So what does that look like, you know, when you have servicing companies? I mean, does that change often? What does that look like?
So even if the loans were to change hand from Link to someone else, they can, from a servicing perspective, they continue to be serviced by Aspire. So for our customers, you know, once their loan is originated, they're on Aspire's platform, they're making payments there, that would always be consistent. So there would never be any kind of change in the customer experience.
Okay. Okay. Do you see anything like that happening? Is that happening now with more companies like Link in there now? Do you see much in the way of people changing portfolios of student loans? Does SoFi do that, or DRB, or any of these other folks?
You do see some of those entities selling off and securitizing some of their loan portfolios, so I think there is an element of that taking place. But I think the same is true for other lenders where there's at least consistency in servicing so that from a customer's perspective, there's consistency in experience.
Interesting. Okay. I haven't heard of it yet from any client, but I'll definitely want to hear from anyone who's had that happen to them. And of course, now we're seeing more and more companies like Link Capital coming to this marketplace, right? And I heard of Link Capital through the White Coat Investor website, and I've had SoFi and BRB on the podcast. So help me compare and contrast Link Capital versus SoFi versus DRB. What are the differences between the three companies?
Sure. So there, I think first of all, you know, we think it's fantastic. There's so many companies looking to help solve what is a huge problem. Link, though, is the only is currently the only lender solely focused on medical professionals, and I think that allows us to create, you know, really unique tailored products for the various stages that medical professionals go through in their careers. So the one example we've already discussed is offering refinancing options for residents, which includes fully deferred payments through their residency and fellowship. And I think that, you know, in the near term, you'll see that we intend to launch other financial service products that are also, you know, uniquely tailored for physicians, nurses, and other medical professionals.
And what do you think about the underwriting? You know, how does that differ between SoFi and DRB and you guys, for example? Do you have any knowledge on that that you could pass on to folks?
Sure. That's a good question. I think there's a lot of consistency. We obviously don't know the exact details of SoFi and DRB's underwriting models, but I think that for the most part, all three lenders are looking at credit history, employment status, and that ratio of debt to income. Again, I think where Link is a little unique, as we talked about before, is for the population who are still in training, we are underwriting to future income. And I think what allows us to do that is because we have such a narrow focus on this population and have our investors comfortable with kind of the career path and trajectory of physicians, they've gotten comfortable with underwriting in that manner.
And what is the distribution? You know, I believe from my understanding, SoFi does like a normal distribution curve. So, for example, I call it a teaser rate of, let's say, 3%. Not a whole lot of people actually get that rate. And the majority of people will get 4.5%, for example, which is still awesome compared to 6.8. But they have that normal distribution curve. From what I understand, at DRB, it tends to be a little more front-loaded. So what about for you guys? Do you go more off of some other hybrid model, or what does that look like in terms of how the underwriting goes and where most people land, considering credit history and those sorts of things?
Sure, it's a good question. I think, you know, overall, I think most lenders are kind of striving to have a bell curve. I think to date we found probably a little front-loaded. We're trying to be, you know, to your point, we don't ever want our rates to be seen as teasers trying to entice someone for a rate that's not realistically available. So in an effort to be transparent, we have our loan calculator on linkcapital.com, which allows a potential borrower to enter, you know, the current information about their student loans and give a sense of what they believe their credit quality to be. And by playing around with that, they can see the different rates that would be available to them depending on where their credit score and those other metrics actually fall out.
Yeah, well, I think it's so the coolest thing about all of you guys that I personally really appreciate is it doesn't cost anything to apply, right?
Exactly. Yep, there's no cost to apply, no penalty for prepayment. You can refinance at any time. So I think there's not a lot. If you know you're interested in private refinancing and committed to that, there's really not a lot to lose by doing it sooner rather than later.
Well, and why not try two or three different companies and see who can give you the best rate, because it doesn't cost you a single penny to do so. There's no refinancing costs, I don't believe, through you guys, right?
Correct, right.
So there's no penalty, you guys. So try out multiple companies and see what happens. The other thing that, of course, we're looking at now with the Fed coming out earlier in this week, we're recording this here on the week of December 18th, is interest rates raised for the first time in 7 years on the short-term rates. So this would be a good timely thing to discuss about how did you guys see, for you, how did rates change, if at all, with the Fed having their first announcement of a short-term interest rate hike?
It's a good question. We've had one rate change since we launched, which took place about 2 months ago. As we bring on these new investors that we previously talked about, we'll be revamping some of our rates. So I think the recent change in interest rates may impact that, but it's still a little to be determined.
Do you guys use a certain benchmark, like a 10-year treasury or LIBOR or the Fed funds rate? What are you guys benchmarking to?
It's a little more complicated than I think just one particular benchmark. I think the way we view rate setting is what is the tolerance our investors have. So, you know, from their perspective, they're looking at that as a risk-adjusted return. So they like to understand, you know, historically, how do the student loans of medical professionals perform? And given that risk, you know, they benchmark it against other investment opportunities available to them to decide what type of return they're looking for. And those types of directions and conversations help dictate how we set our rates.
So certainly interest rates are part of it, but a lot of it might have to deal with defaults or
exactly
the what people can afford or not afford. So interest rates going up may or may not affect the interest rates that you guys have.
Correct. Presumably it will, you know, lead to an increase, but as you mentioned, there's multiple factors at play there.
Okay. Awesome. Well, I think this is just great in sharing all of this info. Fill us in about, you know, the future for you guys. You mentioned having a couple more products down the line and being more part of physicians' lives. So tell us more about that. What does that look like?
Yeah. I think we recognize that student loan is sort of that, oftentimes that first financial step for physicians. And we are striving to offer over time a full suite of financial products to meet all of their needs over their career and life. So we're currently investigating products such as personal loans and mortgages and credit cards to help medical professionals in the same way we're striving to do with student loans.
I think that would be great. I mean, one of the things that I see for many physicians is obviously on $55,000 salary and a heck of a lot of debt. In many cases, for a couple, you know, it's hard with trying to keep everything balanced, and often they're traveling and taking exams and board exams and all those kinds of things. So I think the more help they can get to lower those interest rates, the better. That'd be great.
Exactly.
And one of the other things that I thought was cool about you guys that you didn't have the chance to mention yet was on your blog, you had some really good articles that I think is great content for folks to check out. You want to tell us more about the blog and what you guys have going on there?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's at linkcapital.com/blog. And we've tried to find, I think, the right balance of articles that are specific to student loans and other financial products and how medical professionals should be thinking about that. And we also try to include things that are a little more lighthearted. So holiday wish lists and the 5 books that we think everyone should have and vacations that we think physicians or nurses might be interested in taking, so that, you know, we're recognizing that while physicians have interest in reading more about their personal finance, they're have other things going on in their lives, and we're trying to speak to that as well.
Very cool. And the other thing that I thought was unique about you guys, when I looked on the website that you haven't mentioned yet either, is you have a referral program.
Correct. So we have a friend and family referral program that allows for anyone who refers a borrower to Link who goes on and takes a loan to receive $200 back to the person who referred them.
That's pretty sweet. We like that. Do you have any other closing thoughts at all, Catherine, on debt and physicians and money stuff?
No. Just encourage anyone who has any questions about student loans generally or what Link offers to feel free to reach out. we're always available to talk through people's questions or their particular loan situation.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being with us, and especially thank you for being part of this process to save physicians money, get them out of debt quicker and easier. And if people have more questions, how do they get in contact with you, or where can they find Link Capital online to apply?
Sure. So I would encourage anyone is welcome to email me directly. It's catherine.hebenstreet@linkcapital.com. And we've set up a landing page. So it's www.linkcapital.com/freedom for your listeners. And if they refinance by, I think it's mid-March, they'll receive a $200 incentive.
Sweet deal. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Catherine. Really appreciate your time. And if you are a physician or someone else servicing physicians, want to tell your story, grappling with tough issues, get on the soapbox for a few minutes. I'd love to share it, too, in the next Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast. So make sure to subscribe to the next podcast on iTunes or on the website, drfreedompodcast.com. For the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, this is Dave Denniston. Thank you so much for joining us. Make sure to subscribe and check in again soon. Have a good one.
Hey, this is Dave Denniston. I hope you liked today's episode. If you did, hey, please do me a favor and go into iTunes and give this a 5-star review. We have to get those reviews on up so more people can discover how to slash their debt and their taxes and creating a liberated lifestyle. As a matter of fact, each month I'm giving out a prize package to one of our reviewers for the month. So make sure to go to iTunes right now and place your review. Thanks so much, and I'll talk to you next time.